I have a real burden on my heart, inspiration. I like to say inspiration from God. And I pray that you'll pray for me. We want to start reading in Timothy and talking about Paul when he was, that's my subject, when he was talking to Timothy to come to him. Paul was in jail in Rome. He was, so we're studying about the jail. It was a cold place. And they built these jails under government buildings, kind of like a dungeon. And our Apostle Paul, wonderful Apostle Paul that was saved, sanctified, used of God, he was waiting really his death. But he wanted some comfort, and he was talking to Timothy to come to him. And 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter, we want to read here in the 9th verse, up above that a little bit, in 7, it said, I have fought a good fight. This is Paul. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. In the 13th verse he says, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. And then I want to go back to that in a minute, minute here. The 21st says, do thy diligence to come before winter. That's my text tonight. Come before winter. We need to come before winter. What he was saying to Timothy, if you don't come before winter, this opportunity for you to come to me and help me out here, I may be gone. I'm going to be dying shortly. I'm waiting. I'm in this prison. I need my cloak. I left with Carpus at Troas. And you cannot wait very long because if you remember the shipwreck that Paul had, the Mediterranean Sea is very treacherous and they do not even allow some time for them to even go on a ship to Paul. He was about 600 miles away from him, or very hundreds of miles away from Paul. And he had to hurry and get there before they wouldn't even allow him to travel on a ship to get to him. And he wanted his cloak because he was cold. It was getting bitterly cold. And he knew when winter hit, he was really going to be cold. And he needed that outer garment. A cloak back then was an outer garment, some kind of a coat. And Paul needed that. Also, I want you to bring my books and my parchments. Now, the books, no doubt, were spiritual books of reading and encouragement. We want to encourage the saints, and especially ministers, we love to read books. We love to read and study books. And Paul was the same way. He wanted his books. He wanted some comfort. He wanted Timothy. He wanted somebody. A lot of the saints there were afraid that they were going to be put in jail, and so they had forsook him. If you read that, they had forsook him when he needed some comfort because they were afraid they would be put in jail. They were afraid they would be persecuted. But he's counting on Timothy now. Go to Troas and get my books, get my cloak, get my parchments. These parchments could have been some of the writings, the epistles that he wrote to Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Corinthians. It could have been some of the scriptures. And he wanted this. He needed it. And he wanted Timothy to come. Maybe he wanted Timothy to come in that jail there and read to him. I don't know if that was allowed, but there was something going on here that he needed him. And he said, and you need to come. You need to be diligent about it to come before winter. If you wait too long, it's going to be too late. And this is the message we have tonight. If you keep waiting to get a hold of something with God, you're going to wait too long. The winter is coming. There's going to be a time, you know, I like all the seasons that God has given us. I like the winter too. We came from Michigan. I like all the snow. I like it once in a while. It's beautiful. And, you know, but when winter comes, I know we're kind of right now in the winter, but it could get worse. Lots of times in Oklahoma in January, we have icy storms, and the roads are treacherous, and it's it's very dangerous to drive on these icy roads. You know, in our own life, God has set the seasons up. You know, we have spring, we have summer, we have the fall, then we have winter. So it is with our lives. We're born as a baby and we grow up and we change and we become teenagers. And on every time of our life, we think, well, we got time, we're young, we're going to live a long time, but you know, it may not be that way. In Ecclesiastes, we don't have to turn to that right now, but it said, remember, in the 12th chapter, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. And many times, I know with me, the Lord saved me when I was 18 years old, but many times, a lot of saints were saved. We can be saved at all ages, but lots of times God will drill strong with us when we're teenagers. And he will deal with us because before we get into wickedness. But you know, we can turn around. But God wants us to come to him before winter. And I believe that this message can be for all of us, including myself, that I'm aware of different things that we're going to bring out. But he said, do thy diligence to come to me, Timothy. And he said, come before winter. You know, I like to think that Timothy got busy right away on his journey from Troas to Troas to get the cloak for Paul and to get the books and the parchments. And I'm going to go see my brother in jail. I'm going to comfort him. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. I'm going to help him out here. I'm not going to lag behind. You know, there's opportunities that God tells us to do. And if we miss it, we are going to miss it forever. There's things that God wants us to do. If we hold back, we're just going to miss it. It might be salvation. It might be God's calling you to be sanctified. And you just keep holding back. It might be something else that God's dealing with you. And I just pray tonight that whatever it is, that God will help you to see it tonight in the message. You'll open your heart. And that you'll be a different person when you leave here, because you know that winter's coming. And winter is coming for everyone. And, you know, we just really need to search the Lord and ask the Lord to help us. I want to talk about some different things here, but a little bit over here in Psalms 24, we want to read. May God help us tonight to realize how serious it is in our lives about this. In Psalms 24 and 3, it says here, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from God of his salvation. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Holiness. I remember years ago, as a young woman, Brother Hargrave would preach to us, holiness or hell? Holiness or hell? You know, it sounds a little bit strong, but it's the truth. And, you know, we want to preach with love, and God is love. But, dear ones, there comes a time that we're going to have to hit this winter in our life. We're going to have to face God. We're going to die. We're going to have to face God. And if we haven't come to him, if we haven't got what we need, we keep putting it off. Oh, there'll be another camp meeting. Well, there'll be another service. I don't have to measure up now. I'll have another chance. You know, we don't know. This could be your last chance. Like we heard about the little 14-year-old boy that gave his heart to God and he died the next day. You know, it's very serious. Come before winter. 2 Corinthians 7:1. May God help us to be what God wants us to be and get very serious about it. I know our God is a God of love. He's also a God of a consuming fire. And this consuming fire wants to burn up some stuff that's in us that's not like God. God wants to burn all the dross out of our lives. He wants us to be holy, pure, godly in all our manner of life and please him. And there's a great reward for being that kind of person. And God will come down and bless your soul and talk to you and help you in life. It's a great, wonderful thing to be a Christian. In 2 Corinthians 7, In 1 it says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I know it takes some work to work on ourselves to perfect holiness in our lives. You know, it says, be holy, for I am holy. You know, the world doesn't really teach this like the saints, but it's in the Bible. It's not just what the saints teach. It's what's in the Bible. Be holy, for I am holy. He's a great God. He's a great I am, and he expects us to be holy. He's a holy God, and that's the kind of person he wants us to be. Come before winter. Come to God. Come get what you need. Be a spiritual person. Be a beacon. Be what God wants you to be. Oh, it says here, God wants us to be holy. I want to turn over here to Hebrews 12 and 14. Yes, the Lord, he wants us to be holy. He wants us to be righteous. And he expects us to be. Hebrews 12 and 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. No man is going to get to heaven. No person's going to get to heaven without being holy. Very plain. Holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You're not going to take any filthiness into heaven. You're not going to take any bad music into heaven. You're not going to take any bad videos into heaven. You're not going to take in this corruption and a life of filthiness and doing things evil and all this stuff behind the scenes. God sees everything. You're not going to take it to heaven, dear ones. You got to get rid of it. Come to God before winter. Come before it's too late. You know, we've got a time now. We're having services with the saints of God. This is not just a small thing. This is a big thing. This is Zion. This is the truth. This is the saints. This is people that are living holy and godly. And God is here, and God is talking to our hearts. And he wants us to come to him before it's too late. Come to Mount Zion. Come to Mount Zion. It says, but ye are come, in the 22nd verse of 12th chapter, ye are come unto Mount Zion. Do you know where you're at tonight? Or you're just thinking that we're at a service among the saints? That's true, but you have come to Mount Zion. You've come among Mount Zion, and God wants you to come right into it and get all that he wants you to have. We sing a song, come over into Canaan land. Don't just get saved and just, you know, salvation is a glorious thing. It's a happy thing. It's a blessing thing. You know, and the saints praise God and shout, and it's not an unseemly thing, but it's a true thing. It's coming from a godly life. It's beautiful. And, you know, it's something that God wants to give us all, give us that enjoyment. It's not a make-believe thing or a fake thing, but it's coming from your soul. You're full of the Holy Spirit. I was so burdened when we were singing, I thought, Lord, help the singing. I love the singing, but my heart's pumping so hard. I got to give this message. I got to get it off my heart. God is working with us. His Holy Spirit can work with us, dear ones. And he wants to fill us with joy and happiness. A Christian life is a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a glorious thing. And so I would give my life all over to God. I would just give him all over to God. You know, we sing a song, if I had 10,000 lives, I'd give them all to you. You know, that's true, but we only have one. And winter's coming. It's coming, dear ones. The end of our life is coming. The end of time is coming. We've got so many things that we need to be diligent to come and get the help we need. Whatever it is. Whatever it is that God knocks to your heart tonight. Whatever it is, God is able to give you. One thing he gave me before I came to service, you can ask anything in my name and I will do it. And I believe those scriptures, and I've worked with those scriptures, and the Lord has heard prayer, and he will still hear prayer. Praise God. You've come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the generally assembled and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. We are just. Salvation is free from God. But if we're righteous, it's because God gave it to us. It's because we're blood washed. And if we're holy, it's because God made us holy. And we're not boasting in ourselves. We're boasting in the Holy Ghost. But God has got power to give us to live a holy life. And we do live holy. We don't live in sin. We don't live partly in sin and partly with God. We live 100% with God. 100% holiness, righteous, godly in this present world. Right here in this world, we can live holy. I was reading the other day something about it said, you will not cease to be, but you will only be transported from this world to another world. D.L. Moody said, you're going to see in the paper one day that I have passed away in obituary. He said, do not believe it, because I will be more alive than I ever was here on this earth. I will be to another world. Oh, if we believe that, dear Lord, we will do everything we can to be what God wants us to be. I like to hear some specials coming from our heart. We've had specials, and I'm not saying we haven't, and I appreciate them, but we want it from our heart. We want God working with us, the Holy Spirit working with us. We need to come to God for this. We need to come to God for inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We need the Lord. We need the Lord to help us. I want to go over and to Matthew and switch a little thought about the same thought, but a little bit different here now. Come before winter. Remember what Paul said to Timothy, come before winter. You got to come. You got to come and help me out here. You got to bring my cloak. You got to bring my books, my parchments. You just think this man is dying. And what's he want? Some spiritual books. How do we feel about spiritual books? We just leave them on the... Is there dust on our Bible? Is there dust on these spiritual books? This poor man, he's dying. His head's going to be decapitated soon. What's he want? He wants some spiritual books. He wants some parchments. That's the kind of people that's going to be in heaven. Yes. Are you like that? Is that what you're going after? Or what are you going after? You're going after videos. You're going after music. Oh, I can't wait till I get out of service. I turn on some country music or rock music. I don't know what you're doing, but God knows what you're doing. What are you going after? What are you going after tonight? Come to God. Come and get what God wants you to have. Matthew 26:11 says, Jesus said, for ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. Dear ones, I want you to look around right now. If you have a husband or wife, guess what? You're not going to always have them. You know what? You're not always going to have me for what that's worth. You're not always going to have me. You're not always going to have Sister Rich. You're not always going to have Brother Philip. You're not always going to have Brother Dan. You're not going to have us always. You're not going to have Brother Carl. What's that mean to you? You're not always going to have Sister Maxine, Brother Warren. Because we're mortals. And we're not always going to be here. Jesus was telling them, I'm in your presence now, bodily presence. But you're not always going to have me in this bodily presence. How many ministers that we have had in this meeting that's died and passed away? Brother Humphrey and Sister Humphrey, Brother Leslie. There's other ones. I can remember since I was young, Brother Hargrave and Sister Laverne Manuel and Sister Clark and Brother Kimball and Brother Sammons. And I mean, I could just go on and on. I can't think of them all right now, but Brother Austin Wilson preached to me and... all these ministers are gone. Where are they at? They're in the other world. And they're not always going to have them. You're not always going to have your husband or wife. You're not always going to have your child. You might think that, oh, I'll live all my children. You might not. Who is important to you tonight? and your loved ones. We didn't think about how much we love Jesus. How much do you love others? Do you ever think, do you take them for granted? Or do you think, you know, what would it be like to not have them anymore? Well, I want to read a few things about this. There was a man that, his name was Thomas Carl. He was a great Scottish writer back in the 1800s. He was a man that loved his wife, but he didn't love her enough. What I'm saying by that, he didn't love her enough not to be completely, totally patient with her. He was impatient with her sometimes. Didn't treat her just right. This can go with the woman and the man, too. Women sometimes are impatient with their husbands. They don't treat them just right. It's the truth. You ever been married very long, you know these things. It's human. But we need to work on our marriages. We need to love our husbands and wives. We need to realize they're not always going to be there. Anybody that's lost someone knows how hard it is. I don't know. I can only imagine. Brother Carl, he knows how hard it was. And I want to read what this man wrote on his wife's grave. For 40 years, she was a true and loving helpmeet of her husband. This is a real lady. Years ago, she died in London, April 1866, and was suddenly snatched from him. It seems now as if the light of his whole life has gone out. He wrote that on her tombstone, had it written on her tombstone. Later on in his diary, he said, "Oh, that I had you for just 5 minutes by my side, so that I might tell you how much I loved you." But you know what happened? Something came. Winter came and took that wife. Death came and took that wife. Death can come and take your husband, your wife. And you have no more time to say how much I love you. I heard one time about a man that says, "Why should I tell her I love her? She knows I love her. Why should I tell her that?" Because it's important to tell it. It's important to be verbal. It's important to be communicating. It's important to take time. Because you'll not always have them. There's another little story about a little boy named Andy. Talking about children. We take children for granted sometimes. Oh, they're just children. I'll outlive them forever. Grandchildren, I'll outlive them. How do you know? How do you treat those little ones? You know, this man, he worked and he was busy at his desk. And little Andy was 7 years old. And I got to thinking, he got to thinking his daddy's birthday's tomorrow. And he'll be 45 years old. I'm going to give daddy 45 kisses. And I got to thinking, why did he think that? And I got to thinking, what is it about a little child that have no money? Most of the children don't, unless you save it and you know your parents gave you some, you save it up in a little bank or something. Otherwise, money is very scarce to children. And he probably didn't have any money to buy his dad a big present. And he probably was sitting around thinking, "I love my daddy and his birthday's tomorrow. What am I going to do? I've got no money to give him." I remember when I was a little girl, my cousin was my favorite cousin. I loved her so dearly. She was like a sister to me. She's already died. But Kathy. But we were little girls, and we'd go visit in West Virginia. Kathy would go with me to, I don't even know what church it was, but we wanted to go to Sunday school, so they gave us 50 cents each to put in the offering box. I didn't have any quarters, hardly. I ever had got a dollar or nothing, you know. And the 2 quarters was big to me, real big. And I looked at Kathy, and I said, Why can't we just give a quarter to the offering box, keep us 1 quarter? I said, "There's a little candy store on the way home. Kathy, we could get us some candy." She says, "Oh, I think that's a great idea." We got to church there, an offering box passed around there at that church. We put the 1 quarter in. Little girls, I don't know, we must have been 7 or 8 years old, 9 years old, something like that. But I looked over at Kathy and says, "You know, God's been talking to me. I don't think I should take that quarter and buy candy. I think I need to put it in the offering box." And she said, "You know, the God's been talking to me too, Marcia." I said, "Well, we're going to do it." So as soon as service, two little girls ran up to the offering box, put that other quarter in. It wasn't very much, but it was all we had. We had no money to buy candy now. But you know what? We had a clear soul. We gave it all to God. This little Andy didn't have any money to buy his daddy a present, but he had some kisses. And he ran up and he said, "Daddy, I'm going to give you 45 kisses for your birthdays tomorrow." And his daddy says, "Oh, Andy, I'm very busy right now. I don't have time for that." Sent this little boy away and he had tears in his eyes. He went off by himself, and later on his dad thought, "Well, you can kiss me now if you want to." And have you ever done that with somebody? The mood's kind of gone. I don't want to feel like kissing right now. But, you know, either he didn't hear his dad or he just didn't feel like doing it. He didn't. So it just was lost. You know what? You got to seize the opportunity, or you got to come before winter. And just a few days, this is a true story, this little boy was drowned in the river and died. And his daddy at the grave says, "Oh, if I could just tell Andy, if you could just have a few minutes to say, Andy, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I was so thoughtless and I didn't care about your feelings and I didn't accept your kisses. I'm so sorry." But you know what? Winter came, death came, and he didn't have no time to change it. Yeah. Dear ones, those little children mean something. When they come up to you and want some time, take some time. Not long ago, one of my youngest granddaughters at 7 years old, she says, "Mama, come here and I got to tell you something." I won't share what she said to me. But a lot of people was there at the Christmas gathering. She said, "Come here, I got to tell you something." And I thought for a minute, well, I wonder what it is. So I said, I better take some time with her. I went in there by herself and she whispered to me, told me about her problem. It was precious. Precious that they want to talk to you, tell you about their problems. Don't just push children away. You know, when we become grandparents, we realize more how you don't do that. You don't do that. Why do we know? Because we had three little girls, and you know, they were home and they're gone, and they grew up so fast. We're friends now, but they're not at home. I can't get them back there anymore. Not like little girls anymore. They're gone. They grew up. Those children that are bothering you, that's pestering you, they're going to be gone in a few years. And the winter's coming. They're going to be gone. It's going to be. You can still see them, but it won't be the same. It won't be the same. That's the way life is. Opportunity. If Timothy just waited around and didn't go see Paul, Paul would have been killed. And then we say, "Oh no, I didn't go see Paul. I didn't take him his cloak. I didn't take him his books of parchments." Do what God tells you to do. Take the opportunity. Seize the opportunity. I read another story about D.S. Warner. It really touched my heart. Try to make this. He was at his dad had died. His father had died the night before. And that next morning, they were getting ready to have the funeral service. And he got a telegram that his little girl that was around 3 years old or three and a half, something like that, was very sick and he needed to come home right away. And he debated, like, should I wait and stay for this funeral and then go home? And he prayed to God, and God showed him, "You need to go home right now to this child." And it said when he walked in, if you read about that story in the Birth of Reformation, Lavella put her little arms up, and she recognized her daddy. And he kissed her on the lips, but said she was too weak to kiss him back. She was almost dead. But she recognized her daddy, and he could take that with him when this little girl died. But if he would have waited... if he hadn't come to her before winter, before she died, he never would have had that comfort. I remember before I lost Kathy, I usually go to West Virginia. We try to go 2 to 3 times a year, especially that Mom is 85 now, and she can't come see me. You know, I say she can unless somebody would help her on an airplane, but you know what I mean. It's very hard for her to travel. And Tammy and I, we have Jerry goes with me once or twice a year, and then Tammy likes to go see him. And we usually go in October because I'm a little fearful of the mountains and the icy roads and the snow going around the mountains. It's a little treacherous for women to be traveling, or men too. So we usually try to go in October. And I was thinking, you know, I always go to them before winter. And Kathy, I would have missed the opportunity, but I'd went to see my mom and everybody, and I called up Kathy the last time I seen her. I said, "Kathy, you got to understand how much I love Kathy." When she died, and I still cry about it sometimes, but I cried, I think it was around 3 days, and my eyes were so swollen. If anybody has lost somebody they loved, I didn't realize how much I loved her. She was just like a sister to me. When we were little girls, my natural fleshly sister, and I love her dearly too, but she was 10 years younger than me. And Kathy and I were closer in age. She's about 4 or 5 years younger than me. And she was the oldest in her family. And so we were very close. And I said, Kathy, I'm in town. I'm at my mom's. I said, come on over and visit us. And I said, I'm going to fix you breakfast. And Kathy says, oh, no, you're visiting. I'm going to fix you. I'm going to bring you breakfast. And that morning, it's the last time I see her. She brought us some, stopped and got some biscuits and egg biscuits and stuff and brought it to us. And she was real surprised to see Tammy. Tammy remembers the day. And when Kathy was leaving, I said, now, Kathy, this is not the last time I want to see you. I said, I got to see you again. And she said, well, I said, David's coming in, my brother. And I said, maybe you can see us again. She said, yeah, I'll really try to see you later this evening. And that was my hope. You know, I thought I was going to get to see her again. And so I remember looking out my mom's window, out the door, watching her leave. And I seen her, and that's in my mind, that's the last I seen her. I didn't know that would be the last time I saw Kathy. This is the way it is in life. The day Rhonda came in, they called her first because they were afraid I was be driving or something. They didn't want to tell me that Kathy had died. And Rhonda came in and says, Mom, sit down. I got to tell you something. I said, what is it? I said, Dad okay? Because he wasn't home. Said, no, it's not Daddy. I thought, oh, someone's died in our family. Who is it? And finally, I sat there and she said, it's Kathy. I mean, it was just, she's 5 years younger than me. And I fell on the floor crying. But it was winter to me there. See what I mean? And I came, but I had this memory. I go back to this memory of Kathy the last time I seen her. You know what I mean? We draw on that. What if we missed the opportunities? What if Timothy would have missed the opportunity with Paul? He would just regretted it for the rest of his life. But if we're good to one another and we love one another and we do the very best we can, then if they die, we won't have the regrets, even though we have the pain and sorrow. We won't have the regrets. You see how serious it is? Oh, Brother Warner also prayed for a man, a young man, talking about when is your last chance with God? He was a young man, and his mother requested that Brother Warner pray for him. He was asking for beer. He was on his deathbed, asking for beer. If I get it just right, it's in the Birth Reformation. I was trying to find exactly, I read it the other day, a few days ago when I was on my trip. But you know, Brother Warner laid his hands on him and was trying to pray for his salvation. And he took his hand and pushed it away and said, go away. He said, I'm lost. Go away. And so Brother Warner had to cease. But his mother wept and wept outside that room. But the son said, I'm lost. Now, I know we can get saved on our deathbed. You know what? Sometimes we can't. Sometimes winter set in. Sometimes we've spurned the love of God. We've spurned the talking and the persuasion. And we've just rejected. I remember Sister Opal Kelly telling me this when she was alive. She said her husband wasn't saved. And one of the last services he was in, he was under such conviction, he was just gripping the back of the pew. Gripping it till his hands were almost like really red. She said, this is what she told me. I mean, she's a red or what, but she just said he was gripping it really, really hard. Would not go to the altar. Would not yield. And it wasn't very long after that he died.
About 2 weeks.
2 weeks. The last call. Come before winter. I don't know who's God's talking to, but I'm telling you what. God stirred me up myself. How serious it is to love the ones I love, how serious it is to love one another and to do my very best in life, because winter is coming. And my own life, keep it up to date with God, because you know what? Sometimes I feel my heart beating and I think, you know, one of these days it's going to stop. It's going to stop. And I want to meet God. I want to go into that another world with Jesus. I want to go with a pure heart, undefiled, nothing in my way, nothing between me and my Savior. Just, I want, when my heart stops beating, I want to just be able to go into that other world and say, come, Lord Jesus, I'm ready to go. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to life. I'm a very positive person. I enjoy my life. I don't want you to think I don't. But I'm also looking forward of going to heaven someday. Because I know it's so real. I know this Jesus I preached about and talked about and read about, and I've enjoyed the meetings with the saints through the years and all the ones that have gone before us, all the ministers we've known that we've loved. All that is so true, and they're in heaven and it's so real, and the angels are there, and Jesus, most of all, he's there. And you know, we talk about touching his nail-scarred hands and all these, or bowing down at his feet. Oh, but dear ones, it's true. It's true. We are going to see it. It's really real. And I just, you know, all these years, tell me not of heavy crosses, nor of burdens hard to bear. For I found this great salvation makes each burden light appear. And I love to follow Jesus, gladly counting all but dross. Oh, praise God. Oh, it's so wonderful to love Jesus and live for Jesus. Oh, may the Lord help us not to miss our opportunities. Come to God. Come to your loved ones. Whatever God wants you to do. Let's turn over to James here a little bit. Oh, may the Lord help us tonight. You know, God wants to help us. He wants us to be what he wants us to be. I told you the story before, but I remember we're having an ordinance service tomorrow, but one of the first ordinance service, I used to come in, I'd sit by Sister Humphrey over here. Brother and Sister Humphrey were very dear to me because we were saved in Michigan and went to church in a little chapel, a little place under Uncle Ralph's basement. And Brother Humphrey would drive from Kentucky and many miles to minister to our little congregation. And, you know, they were so dear to me. They were so close to me. And, you know, when I came in to sit down and they weren't there, I burst into tears. You know, this is what God wants among us. He wants us to love and get close to each other and love each other. It does something. It helps us to stay saved. These people really have helped us to stay saved. That's not nothing lightly that we take. We can't forget these people. You know, we can't forget these people. Oh, may the Lord help us. James 4 and 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I know the night I got saved, I had to resist the devil. The devil didn't want me to be saved. I was at Jerry's grandmother's house, and the enemy said, run out of that house and get away from those people. I was 18 years old. And Jerry got down on his knees and started praying for me. And I thought, what a bad girl you are. He could pray for you. You need to get down and pray. And Grandma said, is something holding you back? And I said, yes, something is trying to hold me back. And I got on my knees and got gloriously saved that night. November 12th, 1971. I gave my heart to Jesus, 18 years old, gloriously saved. It's kept me all these years. Oh, I'm like Brother Marty, I wouldn't trade anything. I was so careful, I still am. Oh, I don't want to do anything. It's not so much that the church sees you. It's what Jesus, not the saints see you. It's what Jesus sees. It's what he knows you're doing. I talk to him all the time. Lord, I'll do anything, whatever you want me to do, you know, here. I'll make the right choice, Lord. I want to keep right with you. Oh, that first love. I remember I was going down the road and I was listening to, it wasn't like real, real bad music, but it was some old Goldie song or something I liked. And I was listening to it after I got saved and I was enjoying it. And all of a sudden the Lord starts talking to me. He said, do you want to do those things? Aren't you saved? Don't you belong to me now? And I said, yes, Lord, I belong to you. He said, you need to pray. And so I got home and I got on my knees and said, oh God, forgive me. Forgive me for giving into that. Help me to go after religious music. Help me to be what you want me to be. And I was seeking the Lord. And then later I got sanctified. You know, the Lord, he worked with us. He'll work with us and he'll help us. It's not that he wants to take things away from us, but he takes things that would lead us away from God. He just takes the bad things out of our life and he gives us all the good things. all the wonderful things. Yes, it says holiness. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Are we drawing nigh to God? Are we working on it? Are we just so busy we don't pray, we don't read? You know, these are the two things that we need to be doing every day, praying and reading. I've got people at the altar, you know, when you work with them, that's one thing they're slipping up on sometimes. Well, I'm not praying enough. I'm not reading enough. You got to do it. You got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Nobody can do it for you. The ministers and the saints in these meetings help us. But we have to have a personal relationship with God. A personal Savior. He's a personal Savior. He's a personal Savior. He wants a personal life with us. Yes, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. In the 14th chapter, verse of that fourth chapter of James, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? I want to ask us tonight, what is our life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It won't be long. We'll be vanished away. Be gone. And the only thing, it says, only what's done for Christ will last. That's all that lasts. Just a little while. In Psalms 103, may the Lord help us tonight. Oh God, please help us. Help us to get serious about it. Oh, may God help us. Psalms 103:15 says, as for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. His days are as grass. But when we're alive, at that moment, sometimes we just feel like we're going to live forever. But we're not going to live forever here. No. And that's why it's so serious to serve God. It's so serious to get down to business with God. And be what God wants us to be. Oh, may the Lord help us. We quoted that scripture, you know, Ecclesiastes. Remember your Creator in the days of thy youth. We got to remember. In Matthew 25:4, may the Lord help us. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. If we don't die before the end of the world, the end of the world's coming. It's getting closer and closer. Back in Brother Warner's time, and back in that time, they were saying the end of time was coming. Well, that was over 100 years ago. What do you think it is now? It's coming. Oh, may God help us. 2 Corinthians 6:2. May God help us tonight. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tonight. The devil tries to trip us with a trick. He tries to have us put off our salvation. He's probably talking to somebody right tonight. Don't yield. Don't listen. Run away. Get away from those people. He's probably telling you those things. You know why? Because the devil wants to take you to hell. He wants you to. He don't want you to enjoy God. He don't want you to get all the blessings from God. He wants to destroy you. He seeks to kill and destroy. Oh, may God help us. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's talking about past tense. We all were sinners once and we got saved, okay? But we're not sinners anymore. And being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. There's no boasting in being saved in our own self. Our righteousness is filthy rags. But God gives us righteousness. We boast only in the Holy Ghost. Whatever we have, it was a free gift. Jesus was born. We just celebrated. He was born. He died on the cross that we could be saved. And His blood that flows through us, that if we're saved, it's His blood that made us righteous. It's His blood that helps us out. If you come and pray tonight, it's His blood that will save your soul. It's His blood that we believe in two works of grace and the second cleansing with the blood. The blood causes us to be sanctified and burns that carnal nature out of us. The blood, the precious blood of Jesus, the healing comes from the atonement. Everything comes that way. I was thinking about in Acts, King Agrippa, what did he say? Almost, Paul, you persuade me to be a Christian. In Acts 26, you know, I wish that he would have got saved. I wish he hadn't said that. But you know, he says here to Paul, Paul was telling him all the wonderful things about how God worked with him. And in the 28th verse of the 26th chapter of Acts, Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Isn't that the way it is with us? We tell our loved ones, we tell our friends, we tell people, we want you to be saved. We want you to join the salvation. It's like they're deaf. It's like they're not hearing, like the devil's got something around them, like a bubble or something. And we're trying our best to break through that and say, but you don't understand. I had a dream one time that these feet were just traveling, and it was like a big box, like a window, and they were going and falling off this big box, like they're just falling off into eternity. And I said, Lord, what is that in the dream? And the Lord said, those are footsteps to eternity. Just people are just going and going and going and rushing, and everybody's so busy in this life, and they're just going and not thinking about their soul. The most precious thing you have is your soul. You know what you are? You're more spirit than you are your body. Look at your hands right now. Look at your... This is what you're living in. This is just some clay. This is going to go back to dust. But the real you is your inside. What kind of insight do you have tonight? Is it pleasing God? Is your soul and spirit subjected to the Holy Spirit? Are you pleasing God? Are you coming to God? Are you going to keep putting it off? Are you going to come before winter? Are you going to come before it's too late? May God help us. Matthew 11:28, I want to close with this. Almost persuaded. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me. Come unto me, Jesus is saying, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know, when you learn about Jesus, you find out He's the best friend you've ever had. And He just loves you, and He gives you blessings, and Oh, you sit in heavenly places with the saints. You enjoy salvation so much. It's so wonderful. He just bubbles over, like we heard. You don't just shout here. You shout at home. You praise God at home. And you have some of the greatest blessings I've had all by myself, where I pray in my room. And I just rejoicing, and the Lord's blessing my soul. And actually, when the Lord gave me this message, it was like that. It was just, weeks ago. And the Lord began to talk to me. And I was crying, and the Lord was just telling me about it. Come before winter. Come, and teach them that. And you do that with your family. Love them before winter hits. Love them because it's going to come. And you don't want regrets. You want to love your fellow men. You want to do everything you can. Come. And the Lord was flooding my soul right there all by myself and just praying to God in my closet. Oh, it was flooding my soul. It was so sweet. It was so rich. It was just wonderful. All the times you have with God, you know, saints, what I mean, when God just pours it down. You can just go along and you pray, and you don't hardly feel like your prayers are going anywhere, but you know they are by faith. And you know they are. You know God's listening, but you just keep living for God and keep being faithful, and all of a sudden, He gives you this blessing, and He just pours it on you. Or remember that night I got my little letter. I got me this little lady's letter I ordered off QVC. I can carry it around. It's not real big. And I got my little letter. It was way up in the night. And I said, I'm going to get a hold of God. I want to pray. I want to get close to God. I want to find me some good books to read. Plus my Bible. And I get up my little ladder, and I climbed up in my bookcase, and I started getting the books down. I found this book, and I found my Bible, and I found all these books. And I went in my room, and I started talking to the Lord. And I should have been sleeping because we were leaving the next day. And I was losing lots of sleep. I knew I was. But you know what? I didn't care. I said, I'm getting hold of God. I don't want to go anywhere if Jesus don't go with me. And there was something there. I don't know what it was, but something pleased God about that. And he started pouring a blessing on me. And he started talking to me about coming before winter. And he started telling me all these things. And I've been carrying this. And I said, Lord, I'll give it when you want me to. I don't know when. But the Lord just poured it on me. You know, saints, as ministers, and all of us, we got to fill ourselves up before we can give it out. We got to get it in here. Get something from God. Have God talk to you. It's wonderful, isn't it, when God talks to you? I know you saints know it. It's not just me. I'm just not his favorite. He loves us all. You know what? We might like to think that, but it's not true. Jesus loves all of us. I'm not his favorite child. You're not his favorite child. Guess what? He has a whole room here of favorite childs. He loves us all the same. You know, sometimes they'll say, well, you know, you got a favorite child or a favorite grandchild? No, I love them all the same. Love them all the same. I can say that. I do. They're all different. They all have different personalities. It's just like the body of Christ. But you know what? We love all of them the same. God loves us all the same. Praise the Lord. He loves us all the same. But praise God, there was just something about me getting that ladder and climbing up in that bookcase. I don't know what it was. I was just searching for God, drawing nigh to God. It was something that God saw. He just gonna talk to me. It was almost like little Zacchaeus climbing up in the tree, you know. I'm gonna see Jesus. I'm gonna see him. I'm gonna get up there and I'm gonna see him. I'm gonna find me some books. I'm gonna get my Bible. Or I'm gonna search and I'm gonna dig and I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna get something. Do you ever feel desperate like that? What do you feel like tonight? You feel like you're just going to let this go by and you're not going to get the help you need, or you're going to get some help? You know, come to the altar is good. If you don't even come to the altar, you can get help at home. You can be a different person from now on because you're going to remember, come before winter. Come before it's too late. Come to God. Pray for me that I love the Lord. Help me to keep faithful.